Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we don't know what we're talking about. Welcome to issue number 39. I am your host, Aaron. We've got Shay to my left and Ethan to my right.
Word.
Hello.
Hello. What's up, guys?
School started.
I noticed.
Yeah.
It snowed.
And it's about to start for you.
It is. That being said, this is a weekly geek cast where we talk about all kinds of gadget geek goodness. We have several rotating topics. This week we're going to be talking about three. The first of which is going to be a remake of a Quantum Leap media. I think that's actually going to be part of the discussion. And no, you don't need to adjust your headphones. We did say we're going to do a casting couch. I made an executive decision 2 or 3 days after the show that doing a casting couch Quantum Leap would be boring because there would technically be two characters. I mean, we could stick more in there, but why? So yeah. We're going to just turn that into a we make it, and it might actually be an interesting segment. Then we're going to bore you and waste your time with one of Shay's characterizations. We're going to be talking about the Unbreakable universe. The 2000 M. Night Shyamalan, Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson's thriller.
Pretty much.
Kind of movie.
Thriller. Definitely more of a horror movie than a
superhero movie. Ethan and I are going to be giving you our confessions on a movie snob on the 2010 release of Tron Legacy. I say Ethan and I because somebody didn't make it to the theater.
It snowed.
It did snow. I made it. But hey, but before we do any of that, we have a segment we like to do every week called Geekly Happenings. Mm-hmm. Where we talk about news that's relevant to us geeks.
A good amount of stuff this week.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. I think that the obvious thing to open with is probably the thing that has its tendrils in the Red Phone Zone history.
Yes.
Which would be that there is now a release date schedule put forth for the newest James Bond movie.
Cool.
Yep. November 2012, it's looking like.
November 9th, 2012.
Oh, I didn't notice there was a date.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, we've been very vocally against the loss of Daniel Craig in this franchise, and it isn't going to happen at this point.
Nope.
We're going to get at least one more movie with him.
Nice.
He will be returning as James Bond, and Sam Mendes is directing with a screenplay written by Neil Purvis, Robert Wade, and John Logan.
Huh. Neil Purvis is the guy that wrote, what the hell is the name of that movie? Crash.
Yes.
Yeah, he wrote Crash.
Haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
So, yeah, interesting mix
Sam
there.
Sam Mendes.
So, yeah.
You know, he got an Oscar, his first time out of the director's gate for American Beauty.
He
directed Road to Perdition, fantastic movie.
Directed
Jarhead, hated that fucking movie.
And I think he was one of the creators and executive producers on the TV show The Unit.
That's correct.
I think he was. And he was really good.
Well, so. I never watched it. He was also one of the people attached to the... Broadway, I don't know if it's, it might be defunct right now, and I haven't looked it up, and I actually just thought about it, but at one point he was directed to a Broadway musical based upon the Shrek movies, and I thought that was a very strange thing.
I remember hearing about that, but I haven't heard anything recently.
Now this, wait a minute, never mind, but it isn't attached, I'm sorry. I do have a little bit of news, it probably isn't news that I wasn't aware of, but I want to bring it up because I just found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
That is Kelly MacDonald. I believe I cast her before as, I don't remember who I cast her as. She's a chameleon-like actress who's in lots of movies. She's in No Country for Old Men. She's in Trainspotting. She's in Elizabeth. She's in a whole hell of a lot of movies, and she was... in No Country for Old Men, I just watched that yesterday. First of all, that's a great movie. But I was reading about her because she was in that, and it turns out that she is going to be playing the Grey Lady in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. That's cool. You know me, I love me some Harry Potter, and I love me some Kelly MacDonald, so I'm excited to see that. But other news, do you want to talk about something, Ethan?
Well, we've had a lot of flies drop this last week.
We have
with not David Yates as I said.
Yeah, that about fucking floored me.
But like, Peter what? Yates.
Yeah, Peter Yates.
Peter Yates died. Peter Yates was, of course, a Hollywood director. He directed most notably, I think, Bullet.
Yeah,
with Steve McQueen. And sort of one of those movies that set the stage for the car chase.
Yeah, yeah.
People always go back to that car chase.
They always talk about Bullet, and they talk about The French Connection when they talk about great car chases in films.
I have seen neither one of those, actually.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I might have sat through French Connection, but I was probably having a conversation with somebody on top of it.
Sure. I wouldn't be too surprised about that.
Yeah, Peter Yates.
Peter Yates.
I rarely watch movies alone.
Do we want to talk about dead people, or are we going to talk about the Lord of the Rings?
We can talk a little bit about Lord of the Rings.
Let's do that.
We've had three big confirmations come down as far as who's going to be in Lord of the Rings, or not Lord of the Rings, going to be in The Hobbit, to be more tactical. The first one that came down that I spotted was Elijah Wood has been confirmed.
See, that one slipped by me. I didn't notice that till today when I was looking back at the Ian McKellen news. That Ian McKellen and Andy Serkis are both returning. Oh. Obviously, Bilbo. Elijah Woods is going to be playing Frodo. And to those of you who don't know, Ian McKellen played Gandalf. Gandalf the Grey in this one because it is a prequel. And then we're going to have Andy Serkis playing Gollum once again. So that's cool. That's really cool. As far as unofficial news, we have unofficial news that Orlando Bloom may be returning as Legolas, and the one that kind of makes me a little bit excited about it is Sir Christopher fucking Lee very much says he would love to return, provided that his health holds up, and I hope so.
That's
you know,
and
you
know, do we figure out how old he was?
89 years old.
How old he is?
Yeah.
Was.
89 years old, Sir Christopher fucking Lee. Mm-hmm. Yes, we'd love to see him return.
You know what? I have to admit that one day he's going to die, and probably soon. And
eventually.
As far as health, he seems to be in pretty good health. I mean, he's mobile, he's working. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks healthy for an 89-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I look.
People live
like
100 all the time.
Yeah, sure.
He's probably not going to be working through that period. But
I'm not crying, but my eyes are all watering up for some reason. But I think it would be kind of fitting, and I think that he would be happy as if he did that movie and he did pass away.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want that to happen.
No.
I do not want that to happen.
Obviously, no.
It would be very cool to see, like, you know, that be his last, even if he retires and lives for another 15 years.
It'd be funny if he did it, if he made it to, like, 97 or something like this and did, like, another Oh God or something like that. Just really.
Another Oh God?
Well, there was the guy.
George Burns?
George Burns. What is he, like, 97 when he did that?
George Burns, he wasn't that old. He died at 100, and Oh God was, what, 20 years before.
Oh, so he was only like 80, something like that.
Yeah, only. Yeah, George Burns is the oldest Academy Award winner for The Sunshine Boys, Best Supporting Actor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's neither here nor there. That's kind of old news. That was in 1967.
Yes.
Took a minute to catch up.
So that's cool as shit. I'm excited about The Hobbit. You know, I don't think I would go so far as to say I've spoken out a bit against The Lord of the Rings, but not quite my cup of tea. I love me some Hobbit. That's a great fucking book.
I think they managed to capture a certain element from the books.
I like the whimsy in it.
They're really fun tightly.
In small doses.
The Lord of the Rings isn't. The Hobbit is.
No, The Hobbit's great. The Lord of the Rings books are terrible. The movies I can take in small doses is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But The Hobbit was much more crafted.
The book was much. The Hobbit is a much better book.
I don't know if I've told this. I know I probably told you this story. I don't know if I've told you guys this story, but first time I read The Lord of the Rings, I was 11 or 12, something like that. And I read it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this shit is boring. And, you know, God. And, you know, I made it through it. And I'm like, okay. You know, so I read the books. And then, you know, fast forward, see what one of those movies come out, 2001?
Yeah,
2001. So I would have been 20, 21. And I heard they're coming out. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give those books another shot because, you know, hey, you know, I'm older. I'm more mature. I understand more shit now.
Yeah.
I've seen some life. I read them. They are just as fucking boring, just as
onerous,
just bad. I mean, they're not bad books, but they're boring fucking reads. And I will never read them again. Plain and simple.
I read
The Hobbit once a year. I love The Hobbit. It's a very good book.
It's a good book.
Sort of taught myself how to read with the Lord of the Rings books when I was in third grade.
No wonder you say continuity.
Yeah. The other news I've got is Lena Headey, or is it Headey or Headey?
Looks like Headey.
Headey. Lena Headey is confirmed to be in
the
new
Judge
Dredd.
I know that name. What is she from?
Well, she was Queen Gorgo in 300.
Okay.
She's going to be in
Judge Dredd.
Well, yeah, Judge Dredd. Yeah,
Judge Dredd.
She's that chick that's going to be a Judge Dredd.
She was on Terminator: the Sarah Connor Chronicles TV series.
I never watched that.
She was Sarah Connor on that one.
As a sort of segue, she's also going to be appearing in the Song of Ice and Fire Game of Thrones series on HBO.
You're really looking forward to that shit, aren't you?
Yes, and they've set a premiere for it, which I am entirely. Jazzed up about, but it's April 17th, starring
2011.
Good old Lena Headey, obviously, and I know it's terrible, and Sean Bean.
Sean Bean.
I'm looking forward to some awesome Game of Thrones on HBO.
It's, I have the
we were talking
books,
Rome. So. It's the same production crew that worked on Rome. So.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
So it's going to be
doing an amazing job.
Nice. So, yeah.
Isn't Rome, like, long done?
Yes.
I thought so.
I watched it, like...
It was an HBO and BBC downloaded co-production, as is this.
You want to talk about the Batman bullshit?
Yeah, we can talk about the Batman bullshit.
Do it.
Let's see. Keira Knightley, Anne Hathaway, and Jessica Biel are due to test for roles in Dark Knight, or Dark Knight Rises, excuse me.
Cool.
As well as newcomers Kate Mara and Charlotte Riley. They had Gemma Arterton was scheduled to test, but...
The chick from Red.
Red, well, no.
No, wait a minute. Who, what the fuck was she in?
Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Clash
of the Cassiopeia? Titans and this horrible movie, The Prince of Persia.
Jesus Christ.
Is she was the girl, the princess? From
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But she signed on to do something, to do the Paramount's Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Right, and it would conflict with issues. Bullshit.
Yeah. It's also reporting, you know, that they're repeating some rumors that haven't been
Talia
confirmed.
Confirmed.
Is it confirmed?
That is confirmed.
And that they're also looking for a love interest.
Cool.
Also, we saw a thing that Tom Hardy has shaved his head, and so which leads more to
the Hugo Strange.
Hugo Strange.
I want it so
thing.
Bad.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens there.
Gimme.
There was a funny article this week about James Cameron, basically, where he went off on Hollywood because he is prone to do so, and their adaptation
he
of
is
certain
Hollywood.
Media.
I know he isn't, but he is.
Right. Well, he, you know, there's a Battleship movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he basically went, Battleship as a movie? What's wrong with Hollywood. I mean, come on. I know. Well, going along those lines, Fox has bought the rights and is planning to do a movie based on the old 1980 Atari game, Missile Command.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fly all your Zig
the Asteroids movie
justice.
Is already in production.
Yeah, I knew that, too.
I'm waiting for Pong, the movie.
Pong, the movie.
And then
that was
see...
actually in development at one point with Michael J. Fox starring. That was in development.
Yeah.
I remember that.
There'd have to be some depth applied to that somehow.
Yeah.
You couldn't just watch a little orange thing bounce on a brick for, like, an hour.
I got nothing. But, yes, Fox, or Paramount, excuse me, is going to be doing, or Fox is going to be doing Missile Command.
I don't know why.
This is about the drama of pushing the button.
I don't know why, but somehow, some way, that little story reminded me of an amusing Kevin Smith anecdote that I don't know if you've heard or not. I don't know if you realize it, but at one point there was a television show, Clerks. There was a live action television show on Fox. There's a pilot made. It was starring what's his nuts. Breckenmeyer and somebody else. I don't remember who. Sure. Kevin Smith, not involved whatsoever.
Right.
And
that rings a bell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin Smith was not involved whatsoever. McGee was involved with it. And Kevin Smith was talking on, it might have been Smodcast, one of his many, many, many media outlets. He was talking about a funny little story that happened to him, but McGee was in there, and they're going through the legal process of everything, and Kevin Smith, you know, he was being pragmatic about it, and he's all like, look, I know that you have every right to do this, but please just don't call it Clerks. You know, he's like, first off, I don't want you to make it at all, but just don't fucking call it Clerks.
Okay.
And he's all like, look, man, you know, I understand how you feel. I mean, I get it, but I really want to do this thing right. He's all like, look, I just, you know, to do it right, you just won't do it at all.
Right.
He's like, look, man, I understand how attached people get to shit. Do you have any idea how pissed off I would get if somebody went and remade Charlie's Angels?
So anyway, on a
lighter note,
Michael Douglas was diagnosed with throat cancer earlier. He's now said that his tumor is gone.
Yeah, so I saw that.
I think that's
cool.
Great news.
Spontaneous remission.
I love me some.
Your
Michael
body
Douglas.
Responded in a good
way.
Yeah,
but that Wall Street money never sucks. It was horrible.
I never saw it. So
don't bother. Yeah, C. Thomas Howell. That's
cool. From The Hitcher.
Yeah.
And various other 1980s films is going to be an undisclosed role in the new Spider-Man movie.
Yes, sir. That's cool.
Interesting.
I like C. Thomas Howell.
He apparently reported it on his Facebook really profile, and it was, or his Twitter or some such, and it was confirmed by the studio. So
yeah,
that's going to be amusing. We already talked about Andy Serkis, and
are we seriously going to talk about a picture? The Cosmic
Dude,
Cube.
Dude, it's the fucking Cosmic Cube.
It's a fucking piece of Tupperware, is what it looks like.
You can look it up online, right?
The Cosmic Cube.
Yeah.
A picture of a Cosmic Cube has been revealed from the upcoming Captain America
movie. So there's a Cosmic Cube in the Captain America movie. That's going to be
interesting. That's the news for it. But as far as the picture, I've seen so many people talking about it. I'm like, what the fuck? It's a picture.
Yeah.
People are saying it doesn't look like he's right for the role. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I'm more just saying, though, that
there's a Cosmic Cube.
It's a picture of Hugo Weaving, not as Red Skull, but out of
pre-transformation
with the Cosmic Cube in his hand. So obviously the Cosmic Cube plays some sort of role in the movie.
My guess is Red Skull's trying to use it to do something.
Oh, yeah.
You have to focus so hard, it can't quite get it to work.
That was deep. The Red Skull using it to do something.
I know.
Something.
Whoa. Something. Something evil, perhaps.
Speaking of something evil.
Destructive.
In the past, we have reported on rumblings, horrible, stupid fucking rumblings, about the Wonder Woman television show, which has now officially been passed by all television networks and will not be happening. I am happy about this. I have said before that I don't want to see a Wonder Woman television show because there has already been one. There's already been a good one. I want to see a movie, not a television show.
Okay, yeah. A Wonder Woman movie would definitely be preferable to a Wonder Woman television show.
And you know what? If they said, you know what, you're going to get a Wonder Woman movie or nothing, or Wonder Woman TV show or nothing at all, I'd take nothing at all.
I would take Wonder Woman
TV
show.
I'd take nothing at all because we have a Wonder Woman TV show. I would rather see them.
So I'm pretty much.
And you think it was done well and it was done right.
For what it was.
For when it was made.
Yeah.
Did you want to discuss that?
Knock yourself out.
All right, last bit of news I had is straight from Lucasfilm. They will be releasing Star Wars, the entire trilogy, the original trilogy, the new trilogy, on Blu-ray in September.
19th?
Let's see. I believe the date I saw was September 19th, although this article I'm looking at
It'd be cooler if it were September 27th.
That would be
It'd be my birthday.
But it is... coming out, and they're putting out a first trilogy set, a second trilogy set, and then a set with all six movies. And the set with all six movies is only like 80 or 90 bucks.
I'm all over that shit.
But which honestly isn't bad for six movies on Blu-ray.
Fuck no, it isn't. I've seen one movie.
And Amazon is taking pre-orders, so you know.
I'm all over it. Order
it for
me.
You know? Yeah, somebody order it for Aaron. So I'll probably be picking that up. Let's see. Blu-ray trilogy, yeah. Or you can get now the MSRP on them is like $140, but any place is going to have it a lot cheaper than that. And I think the price I saw on Amazon was like $79.99 or $89.
Well, down there it says $89 or $69.
That's for each one, and that's the MSRP.
Okay, gotcha. Cool.
So that's what we got.
You got robot news?
Nothing specifically on robots. There's been some advances in cognitive robotics, but those are just, they're discussing them. So it was like an article about them discussing cognitive robotics. There's been some chemistry sort of breakthroughs, like step-by-step breakthroughs in lymphatic leukemia, a new process using nanoparticles that can lessen side effects for...
Nano.
It's just more effective delivery of chemicals directly where they're supposed to be by using...
So nanites are a reality?
Nanoparticles.
They've been working on nanites.
Well, I know they've been working
That's not a nanite. That's a subatomic particle delivery method.
Really,
which
nanites
is phenomenal.
They don't have, but nanobots, they definitely
working
they're
on
like
those.
As big as like a Volkswagen bug or something at this point.
Exactly. Yes.
There's
sweet.
They're working on things
and
that are about as big as a blood
cell. So. Sucks, let me tell you. It's a big needle, let me tell you.
Then this one's neat. There's a group that is
hand a syringe to a robo-sapien and turn it on.
Sweet.
There's a group that is decided that they're going to develop a phone app for your blood work. Like if you go in to get a test done, they're going to put together this thing where you basically get a little. It's a special app so that because they're not going to just text you. they want it to be, like, I guess, a more secure delivery method. So you install this app onto your phone, and you can get confidential doctor information directly to your phone.
Oh, yeah, that won't get hacked in 32 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Oh, wait, it's been hacked already. Never mind.
Shit.
But it's a separate, it's an entirely separate entity, so you'd have to be hacking it intentionally and directly.
What, do you think somebody would do it on accident?
Yeah.
Well, no, but they can make it a different case. They can say that this is a more private scenario than just a
normal text. Anything
else
going on that's of note?
Not that I can think of.
Other than voting for the...
Other than voting for the Zone of Ruthaz?
Zone of Ruthaz.
No. Nope,
we should probably mention about 30 that, times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, next week. So vote for Zone of Ruthaz.
Yes. Yeah,
now and next week.
Yeah.
But,
do as many times as you want.
All right.
Vote early, vote often.
Yeah. So that is going to bring us to the end of Geekly Happening. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with We Make It of the Quantum Leap. Stay tuned.
Peering through the mire, catch a glimpse of the sun. Bound together with wire, another day has begun. An ever-growing, overflowing list of what'll make this day so tough. Never paying attention to what was given up. And in the rush to get things done, he didn't see his child grow up. In the rush to get things done, never sure what he's thinking of. And now it's far too late to mention he loves her so much. Something else forgotten in the rush to get things done.
And we are back with We Make It. This time we're going to take a stab at figuring out what kind of media we like to shove. The, what is it, NBC? Well, no. I get that. It's the NBC 1989 through 1993 show of Quantum Leap. What kind of media we'd like to stick it into, what we'd like to see happen, things of that nature. And this discussion is coming from the fact that there is actually a Quantum Leap movie in development.
Although, there's been one in development for 20 years.
Sure.
But yeah.
It is something that's been spoken about as recently as this past year's Comic-Con.
Yes.
Which is where Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell denied their involvement in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, thoughts on it thus far, guys? Did you like the show? Did you not like the show?
I loved the show. Yeah. It's a great show. I think it was a great show for teaching some history, and it was just fun to watch.
Go back and set right what once went wrong.
Yeah. And I think translating it into a movie is problematic. In that the whole kitsch of the TV show.
There were movies, right? Like two episode arcs and
stuff
like that?
Yeah, there's several of those.
That's what I'm saying.
But there was, there was a Lee Harvey Oswald one. There's one with Evil Leaper.
There was a dark Ziggy and a dark Leaper. They had basically stolen Sam's technology.
The thing about the show, and I think the kitschy part of the show, and the catch all of the show was that you tuned in each week to see where Sam ended up.
Yeah.
And I think in a movie,
you don't have that.
I mean, it'd be hard to do a movie and not have it be like, it's just one long episode.
It'd
because
have to be
you really don't want to.
Three different places.
Because inevitably, Hollywood, us being producers, we're going to want to do sequels.
So
Sam's not going to get home at the end. And so, how do you do a movie where you're going to have, okay, you know, show at the beginning where Sam, you know, does the whole bit and he leaps, and then he goes somewhere else? Does he leap to someone else in the middle of the movie? Do you end it with him leaping at the end and going, oh, okay, well, this is a long 2-hour new series of movies that he will just be leaping
around?
The new
James Bond.
Yeah.
I think they could basically do it in a simpler story. They simplify it down to where there's like three different positions in history that have something connected, and so he just sort of sets...
I mean, I think they should, if they did it, they'd have to really embrace the time travel aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, you know, bring in some of the Doctor Who writers. Bring in Moffat, you know.
There
I mean, someone who knows how to use time travel as a story element. And you know, doing multiple things. Like, well, he has to go back in time to leap through time to do this.
Yeah, if I remember right, he can only travel to points within his own lifetime.
Yes,
right.
Only within his own lifetime, right. Or with. There was one episode where we went back to the Civil War.
Yeah.
And he leaped.
That was because
he leaped into his ancestor.
Yeah. It was because he got connected to somebody who was connected to him.
Yeah,
and so that enabled him to then connect back.
Right, but he can't just go back to dinosaur times, you know, for shits and giggles.
I mean, right,
there has to be something oddball.
They're following like time holes and time variances, and so they're following. They explain the whole thing in the TV series.
It's string theory, you know.
Yeah, it's very scientifically analyzed.
What is it, Swiss cheese theory or something?
Well,
like
no, it's the string theory. Is you take the ball of string and you have this line of string is the beginning of his life. This is the end. You tie them together and then follow it up, and then each point touches.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a good way of analyzing it.
Yeah, and it's a great. It was a great TV series. I think it becomes problematic making it into a movie because of the nature of the TV show.
Okay. So by that rationale, are you saying a new television show?
See, and I wouldn't want them to do that at this point.
And that's where I am, too. Yeah. I mean, it just sounds so fucking fanboyish to say leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that way. I don't want to see...
Because I don't think they could do it justice in a movie. Mm-mm. And I just don't...
See a TV show
I don't
show
want
doing
it to
well.
Be a TV show again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, they did 5 years of this great show already.
I'd like to see and maybe there's no point to it because they did it pretty well in the show, but I would almost want to see a swan song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to. You know,
what happened afterwards?
I want to see Sam and I want to see Al one last time. And I know that Sam never got home. I mean, that's
you know, would be neat. Oh, that'd be would be neat.
I mean, it'd be more like a TV movie at this point. Is to see a you know, the Quantum Leap 20-year special. You know, I mean,
did they ever address it? Did he age?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that wouldn't be a problem.
No.
And Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell are not exactly spring chickens, but I don't call either of them old.
No.
I mean, What Scott Bakula's maybe 60, and Dean Stockwell's
he could probably
70,
do it again
75.
Well, Dean Stockwell's doing well though. Health wise, he looks great.
He does.
Because
Scott
was in,
Bakula not so much.
Most recently, he was in Battlestar Galactica, and he looks
he looks the same as he did in Quantum Leap. Some people just age well.
Mm-hmm. And really, it's hard to even imagine Quantum Leap without Dean Stockwell. I'm not interested in it. There's no reason they can't do it again. Without drastically changing the show or drastically changing
point,
the premise
call
of it.
Something else and make a different series and hopefully it does well.
You know, I'm just, I'd be against it, but as a producer, if it was, you know, thrown in my lap and said, you're going to make this movie and it seems like it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think really I would want to bring in some of the Doctor Who people and say, we need to use the time travel as a story element. It needs to be intrinsic to this movie. I want to be able to say this movie cannot be told without time travel.
Right.
Right.
It has to be an essential part of it. If you take it out, the movie falls apart.
Right. Which is a way that I think a lot of movies need to be.
Because I don't want to fall into the thing of, well, he leaps back and now it's a 2-hour-long period movie and set in the 1950s or whatever, and then it ends.
The only difference is the guy who, the main character happens to have information from the future.
Exactly. And I think,
time traveler kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing about the show that they really did well.
Is that on Instant Stream?
You know, I think it is.
Oh, that'd be great. I should check that shit out. I just finished American Dad, so I'm looking for something to watch.
But what Quantum Leap never really did is you never really saw the future too much.
Did a few times, but not a whole lot.
I think you could probably count it on one hand.
Oh, sure. I remember the episode where he went home and he remembered he had a wife and all that stuff. And
well, I'm talking, though, that sometimes they did show, like, Al running around.
And it was usually in, like, a bright white room.
Yeah, the waiting room.
Lots of LED lights flashing.
But it was always... very minimal. There was one episode, I think, that was set more than there where Al had to go... The guy that Sam leaped into escapes, and Al had to go track him down or something like that. But yeah,
I kind of like that mystique, though, of not really seeing it.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
agree.
It's kind of cool that, you know, you got this story that stems from the future, but you're stuck in the past. I think that's kind of like a essential element of it, though, and I don't know that I want to see that. I mean, the snippets have been cool, but I would not want to see a whole story set in the future.
Yeah,
I mean, at this point, I mean, honestly, I'd pass on this project because I just I don't see the point. I don't see the validity.
I see it as, I mean, it's such a gem of its time.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't want to soil its reputation with with a new movie. But I know it's going to happen inevitably.
I don't know. It shouldn't.
I think
it should
do some interesting things with altering the way the time travel mechanisms are working a little bit.
But I'm saying
if we do it, like I said, bring in Stephen
Moffat, bring in someone like that who can write a tight screenplay with time travel.
And what you're saying, I understand that there are ways to make it happen. You're dealing with the future. They could figure out a fucking way to make them go back to dinosaurs or forward to the people from space. But I kind of like Sam.
He's made it back to Rome.
it's cool that he's dealing in like that, you know, that 35-40 year time span.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always liked that about it because you know, it made it feel more grounded.
Yeah.
I mean, Doctor Who is great and everything, but you know, they could go to the beginning
totally
of time
unhinged.
Or the end of time, and they've done both.
I mean, it's the same problem of saying let's make a Doctor Who movie, you know, and which has been done obviously
sometimes bad.
They're really long episodes, is what they do with the movies.
Yeah, but it's so much to deal with when you're dealing with a movie on time travel. You have that problem of what do you tell the story about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you don't get a lot of movies with time travel in it. You get a few, but it's like you go to this time and you do something.
Yeah.
It is occasionally done well.
And breaking off from the quantum leap element of it, a time travel movie is something that can be done really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Back to the Future. I mean, I know there's
that was great.
I know there's stupid comedies, but they're really well made movies with interesting
mm-hmm.
plots.
Mm-hmm. But I think I'm sort of with you on this. I think Quantum Leap, if they did it, I wouldn't want them to. But if they did it, I wouldn't want to see a new TV series. I would say let's do a movie,
and
but
I certainly
do it right.
Yeah, and when I say a movie, I don't want to see Brad Pitt playing Scott Bakula.
Playing Sam Beckett.
Scott Bakula could actually play Sam Beckett again.
Scott Bakula maybe playing Al, but fuck that shit.
Yeah.
No.
Just get him to play Sam
Beckett. I'd bring him in as a cameo and, put in. I didn't really think about the casting on it, so I mean, just put in Jude Law or something.
Well, see, that's just it.
You're now
I thought about it. I'm just all like, no, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I want to do a swan song. I want to do it like, you know, a final adventure, maybe when Sam dies or mm-hmm. something, and maybe he finally give him like a little bit of peace before he dies. I mean, that'd be cool.
Sure.
But I mean, I just don't want to see it re-envisioned. I don't want to see it. Plain and simple. So I guess that's
vetoing this project.
Are we
right here?
Are
right
we
now.
Make it is don't make it.
Well, you know? I mean,
I think it'd be fun.
In this, you know what we've done? We make it for 20 some odd episodes now, mm-hmm. and
this is the first one that you said like, you know what?
Don't.
After all, I don't.
No, don't
really
do
don't feel like it.
I mean, that's what I don't want. Yeah. I don't want to see it done. I think that the original is good enough.
I think the original just has a great charm to it, and just the fact it's a product of the times. You know, late 80s, early 90s, really early 90s more than anything. It's a fond memory of mine watching that show.
I am totally checking that out. See if that's on Ustream.
Last I knew, it was.
I mean, Instant Stream.
Mm-hmm. Last I knew, it was. And so, yeah, really, you're just looking at casting those two characters in the movie, and then
Jude Law and I don't know, somebody older than Jude.
Somebody older than Jude Law.
Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula. How about Christopher fucking Lee?
He's too. He's too older.
A bit on the old side.
To be a hologram?
Yes.
Yep. Sounds sweet. It's an instant cue.
It is? Nice.
Yep. Badass.
Nice.
Okay, so yeah, that's been We Make It. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our characterization of Unbreakable.
Rolled into Frisco like a farmer. Laid my money down. I asked the man at the counter, now are there any other fools in town? Fools in town. People like me. People I can relate to emotionally. He said, up and down the sidewalk,
are back at the characterization segment where we decide what would happen if we decided to take a look at the 2000 film of Unbreakable, directed by M. Night Shyamalan, starring Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson, and we went and shoved it into a role-playing game. So, Mutant Mastermind?
Mutants and Masterminds. I would use the Paragon setting and be done.
Okay. Okay. Stay tuned. We're going to be right now.
Champions comes to mind, obviously, but it seems a little high-powered, actually.
No.
And that's actually...
Champions, way too complicated. Way too complex.
And the other thing is, I wouldn't...
The characters use it like a tax form. I'm done.
Yeah. No, but the thing, it's the same argument I would use against Champions as I would use against Mutants and Masterminds, and even D20. I'd say actually going for... a lighter version of like Mage the Ascension.
If you're going for a lighter version, there is a game out there called Icons.
Interesting.
Which is a very, very rules light system. It's designed by the same guy who did Mutants and Masterminds.
Okay.
And it's very rules light. It's the other end of the spectrum where it's a lot more on the fly type of stuff.
Did you maybe
it's
talk about that on Gamers Haven?
Yes.
Okay, maybe that's where I've heard of it.
More narrative, because that's really where that went. It was very much about the story of the individual and the heroic journey of the individual.
It sort of depends. I mean, when you're saying the Unbreakable universe, are you saying, okay, you have these,
well, it's pretty
these
much
people with realistic style powers? Yeah.
They're like, there's a term for
and
it.
Pause.
Romantic fantasy. What?
Pause. No, not real pause. Pause. Thoughts on the Unbreakable film?
I loved it.
It's my favorite M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Easily my favorite M. Night movie.
Up there with my favorite comic book movies ever.
And it's one of those that every time I see it, I like it more.
Me too.
So, I mean...
I did like it quite a bit.
Everyone who says bad shit about it, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you all.
Love that movie.
I think I like Sixth Sense better.
My thing about it
fuck
is...
You.
My thing about it is... It's just one of those... It's one of those ideas I always had in my head that, you know, you have these people in... under, you know, amazing circumstances, and they always seem to get a power that fucking benefits them.
Mm-hmm.
How come there's nobody that ever gets powers that fuck them? And don't give me this shit like,
I make
you know,
acid out of my hands. Ow, 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 ow.
And then there are comics that have explored that.
As completely, though, as Mr. Glass...
No, well, not to an extent. Mr. Glass, that is a good point.
That's what I'm saying. It's like he doesn't. I mean, that's exactly it. Is you know, there's under these.
He's more the Lex Luthor.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not even the Lex. I mean, because yeah, he's smart and all that stuff, but he's not. I don't think of him as exceptionally smart. I mean, he's you know he's a smart dude, whatever. But the thing that makes him exceptional is, you know, the I don't remember the name of his disease.
Right.
The degenerative bone disorder.
The thing that
disorder.
Makes his fucking bones break. And that, to me, was a realistic look at it. Because, yeah, you have somebody like Bruce Willis. Is you know, he's, you know, lack of a better word, unbreakable. You know, he can't be hurt. He doesn't get sick. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah.
Circumstantially unbreakable.
Right. But, you know, circumstantially, there's somebody that's very breakable. And that's something that I always missed out of comic books. And, you know, yeah, Ethan's right. That has been something that has been...
Mm-hmm.
covered in comic books, but not as absolutely as Mr. Glass.
Sure. Not as stark.
Sorry, I had to get that out because we just kind of went on talking about fucking dice and
stuff.
Mountain Dew and Funyuns and shit like that.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, Unbreakable is a great movie. One of my personal favorites.
Me too. I like it better than The Sixth Sense. I don't want to take down The Sixth Sense at all. Very good.
No. Unbreakable is just beautifully filmed, beautifully done movie. And so, I mean, yeah.
I love that movie. I love that movie.
When translating that into a game setting, it gets, you know, it's sort of...
How do you translate that sort of romantic, fantastic power system into
it? It goes
into
the setting. Okay, you know, I know that I always do this in the segment with the whys, but why would you want to play in a system where a guy can lift, you know, 400 pounds, and he can be kind of hurt.
It depends on the level of a superhero game you want to play.
I mean,
there's street level heroes.
Why would you want to do something that's reality plus 2 or 3%?
Yeah, and it's not what I would
want. I want somebody that can pick up 4,000 pounds.
Yeah. You want the Superman,
the type of superhero games I'm into
the
are the four color, you know, I lift up a bus and hurl it to the moon type of game. Which I mean, I want the fantastic stuff going on. I'm not big on the it's just like the real world, except there's a little
right around the corner. There's a man who always knows when there are those
even like
in danger.
Nolan's Batman films. Mm-hmm. They take reality and they add to it, but Nolan adds, you know, 10-15%, and I would say at most, you know, 2-5%.
Yeah,
Unbreakable.
He was circumstantially invulnerable.
I'm just not that interested in that as a game. I mean, it makes for a fantastic movie because, you know, I can believe more in that world than I can in Superman or Green Hornet or something like that. Well,
right. You can get into the Unbreakable character's head more, really, because you don't know if you're invulnerable.
Unbreakable's
you just sort of think
more,
you are.
Unbreakable's much more character type of piece where you're looking at, you know, looking internally at the characters.
You know, he doesn't have a fortress of solitude. He's got a shitty little apartment.
He's not running around in a costume and cape and all
that. Doesn't fly.
His marriage is about over. His kid doesn't respect him.
Exactly.
And, you know, the only person that likes him is the fucking villain. You know, I mean, that's cool to me.
Yeah. He tracked him down. He found him.
Sort of like along the lines of what we said about an Inception movie. It makes a better movie than the game.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, and I feel this.
There would need to have been more.
I feel that more strongly about Unbreakable than I did Inception. Because I think Inception is a big enough universe to where you could probably do something. It would be fun. But Unbreakable, not really. It'd be like role-playing.
If you put the two of them together.
Like, Unbreakable's more like of a campaign type of thing. It's like, I want to do this type of a campaign where it's really low power level and, you know...
And more power to them, but leave me out of that
powers
game.
Are
maybe toss, like, dark magic in there.
Sure.
If you want to expand the universe, you could have, like, dark sorcery and such.
That even fits into the Unbreakable universe, quote-unquote.
I think it sort of would.
It has to be... Unbreakable seems to me it would have to be, you know, biologically explainable or scientifically explainable.
It hardly seemed that way. It was more like a spiritual gift.
No, I mean, you know, Mr. Glass had this end of the spectrum.
Yeah, I mean,
Bruce Willis had this end of the spectrum. I think that's
the thing about Unbreakable was Mr. Glass. That was a 100% true medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
It was not exaggerated or anything.
Yeah.
And what they're basically saying is it is possible that somebody like Bruce Willis exists out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fucking likely, but it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, because they wouldn't know it. And they're 100% right about it.
Took an expert to identify all the signs and tell him.
Yeah, and kill hundreds, thousands of people to figure it out.
To prove it,
that
no, even if I blow up this entire train, this guy doesn't come out with a scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
Yeah, I think it's a great movie. And A, I'm not into role-playing games, but B, to me, it wouldn't interest me.
I think that you'd have to bring a lot... That my answer to it is you'd have to bring a lot more into it. You'd have to glob extra stuff onto it rather
and
than just...
Funny thing about
it
is ever since that movie came out, there's been talk of a sequel. Shit, I don't want
to
see
what?
That.
Yeah, I don't...
At
to
all.
Let It Fly?
No, yeah.
I don't
want
to see it. I mean, it's just... I don't know. I mean,
I don't want to see where that goes.
Me neither.
You know?
It turns
a
into
real
a
villain.
The movie is just good as it stands.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to add to the universe. I wouldn't want to take away from it. So
yeah, exactly.
You know.
And
again, we're saying don't. You know.
Man, this is a negative.
We need to come up with some characterizations to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in this case, I just don't think it's appropriate. I mean, it's just we should just feel lucky that we have this movie and don't fuck with it, really.
It is a nice movie.
So,
it is a great movie.
I rather enjoy it.
A simple system, and I think you would have to bring extra elements to it, like magic, or somebody who could fly, or somebody who can
and telekinetics. At that point, it doesn't become Unbreakable. It's not Unbreakable.
At that point,
anymore.
Just play Mutants and Masterminds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it'd be lighter. It'd be lower powered than Mutants and Masterminds.
Yeah. Play at power level 5 Mutants and Masterminds.
Yeah, there you go.
Instead of starting at power level 10, power level 5, you're a lot of street level dudes, you're fine.
You're never really going to go above that. You can raise your skills.
I mean, we're talking something where, you're talking the setting, you're not talking the system at this point. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's enough system out there that you could emulate this
anything.
Just fine. You just need to say, okay, it's the Unbreakable setting, done. Boom. We're all good.
I agree.
So,
I think that brings it into our characterization segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Confessions on our Movie Snob on Tron Legacy.
Never I'm in need.
this time with a Confessions of a Movie Snob on the 2010 Joseph Kosminski release of Tron Legacy. Get the fuck out of here, Shay. You didn't see it.
I'm just going to ask what'd questions.
What'd you think about it?
I'm interested. There's things I want to know about what happened in the movie.
Go see it.
I'd like to, but I'm just going to sit here and let you guys spoil it.
Okay, the musical number is wonderful. Yep. There's that dancing girls.
Oh, yeah.
Dancing
oh,
girls.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Exactly what I was
hoping.
In 3D,
to be
too. The Rockettes, even. I mean, it was amazing.
In neon, like neon dancing girls?
Yes. Sure. And wow.
You know, in the original, there was blue and red. Now there's sure. Pink.
They got some pink fans?
I like
pink.
I like
flare there.
Okay, honestly, truthfully, yeah, what
it was. I mean, obviously,
I haven't seen the original in probably 5-10 years,
sure,
something like that.
I think I just watched it a couple weeks ago.
It didn't do much for me.
I actually really love the original back in the day.
The original, I'll preface this: the original is one of my favorites, just from my childhood. I love Tron. About Tron when I was a kid.
I've only seen it once, and that was like 5-10 years ago, something like that.
And obviously, this movie was my number two. Best movie of last year, so obviously I liked it. So
right,
I don't know that it would have cracked my top six, but I really, really, really enjoyed it, and I think that it was masterfully made.
It was
beautifully made.
Totally different from the original movie, but that was a good thing.
Yeah,
it wasn't trying to do let's do Tron all over again. It was no, let's really do Tron Legacy show what happens 20 years later
by making Clue the villain. Mm-hmm. That just showed that they were actually paying attention to the story more than just trying to make a sequel. Because if it was the fucking if they would have just followed it and done like. The normal bullshit studio, it would have been Tron as the villain.
Yeah.
Or
the MCP.
Or MCP came back. MCP dot 2.0.
Yeah, MCP 2.0 or 5.0 or whatever.
I thought it was beautifully done. I think that the 3D is the best 3D I've ever seen in a movie.
The effects are amazing.
Yeah.
Did you see it on just real 3D or?
I saw it on real 3D.
Okay, did they show the disclaimer at the beginning?
That was cool.
Yeah. Some of the scenes, the whole movie, you wear your 3D glasses, and some of the scenes are filmed in 2D.
Yeah, it was like until they got
intentionally.
Into the, yeah,
because when you get into the construct world, that becomes beautiful 3D and fully rendered and stuff like that.
That makes me feel like this movie is almost 5-10 years too early. Because how fucking awesome would have it been to not have those stupid glasses on
and then
just get into that world and just see that 3D. It would be like Dorothy opening the door in The Wizard of
Oz
and seeing the color.
Yeah, I really thought
they could have pumped up that moment a little bit more for me in Tron Legacy. Because it was just kind of, there was no awe and wonder about it. He was just, hit the ground running, so to speak.
Right.
And I would like to see him say, what the fuck is going on here? And then maybe hit the ground running, so to speak. But... I really liked it.
The movie, I think, and I akin it a lot more to Blade Runner in that it was very beautifully filmed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had a very cool style to it, I thought. It was very existential. It talked
very much.
Really dealt with
meaning of life.
Life and the creation of life and the
purpose.
Reality, that type of thing. It was really interesting that way. Mm-hmm.
Clue, the young Jeff Bridges, was done flawlessly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely flawlessly. It looked like...
The only times I had issue with the digital young Jeff Bridges was at the very, very, very beginning. Of course, I just saw it on IMAX. So, I mean...
I didn't, but I could see why. Because
it didn't look quite right.
Putting it in 3D made it...
Really,
it made it feel more
present,
organic.
Sure,
organic. Because you're in that construct, and
it seemed a lot. It didn't bother me nearly as much once they got into the construct.
No, I thought in the construct it was flawless.
Oh, yeah,
it was
easy.
Beautiful. I mean, it was just. I mean, it was mind bending.
Oh yeah.
I mean it was young Jeff Bridges, and hats off to Jeff Bridges for his acting in that, because he had to age his voice and de-age his voice, and he had to play two roles.
I mean, it's almost as if he's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah, shit. Yeah. I wonder if he would have done that movie if it was after he won his Oscar.
I bet he would have. I bet he would have. Yeah. I mean, he strikes me as the type of guy who wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, he is striking me that way. I mean, he made the fucking True Grit movie, which is awesome.
I still haven't seen it.
But it's not exactly...
This movie is, we keep going back to the effects. I mean, it was beautifully filmed.
What was the real achievement of the main character? Because it's the son searching for his father.
Mm-hmm. What was the main achievement of him?
Does he find him? Okay, so he does locate
his father.
Basically,
what he's trying to do is he isn't even trying to... I mean, he's trying to find his father, but he kind of stumbles upon him. And he runs into a circumstance that's been going on and on and on because Clue had taken over the construct.
Clue is Jeff Bridges, or his character Flynn, creates a new construct that he decides he takes Tron and builds a new construct.
Okay.
So it's not in the same grid as the first movie, as the original movie. But what
he's
he does
also evolves
is he creates an avatar of himself, basically, that a program that he designs named Clue.
Mm-hmm. Based off
which
of
I forget what it's CLU, it stands for something. But
computer something or other
linguistic
unit.
Yeah,
unit,
I don't remember.
Something.
And it looks like him when he created it, and he created it 20 years ago.
Right.
And so when you run into him, he looks like
young.
Jeff Bridges young, you know.
Was that 3D?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it was the fighting in it was really cool because you had it really took into effect the really digital physics type of thing. It's like, well, why can't I just run up the wall or something?
Yeah.
It's totally Matrix style stuff, but done well.
Done right.
Yes, done right. Like the way that they figure out that he's a user, that he's not a program, is he bleeds. So he's in the middle of a fight and he starts bleeding and everybody just goes user.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's a shortened version of a cluster. Mm-hmm. CLU is what it is.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You sort of get the impression, and I found myself about halfway into it going, well, why are they still calling this Tron?
Mm-hmm.
But then it sort of dawns on you like, oh, wait a minute.
Clue's not the right guy.
Tron is
hero.
In there.
And I got to give them so many props for the restraints with Tron.
Yes.
I have to give them high marks for that, because you expected his ass to be all over the fucking place, because he was the hero of the first movie.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. He was barely there. But he was there, and he made an impact. It was
cool.
Yeah,
he made an impact. He had stuff to do. And,
yeah.
And they even... They're talking sequels already, and I honestly don't want them to do a sequel to it.
Not
like, wait another 20 years,
exactly.
And then do another
one. Or 15.
Because I think the original was a great product of its era. This one is a great product of this era.
Of the 3D era. Now we need to get into the...
And now it's like, just let it go.
The
it was
laser
good, it's
grid
It's a good
era.
Movie, and at the end, you notice Tron starts lighting back up at the end as
when
he's sinking away.
Down, yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's their little... Tron's not quite dead type of thing.
Still there.
It's same thing with Flynn. I just don't see him as gone.
I mean...
Well, he's sort of like transcended into that world and doesn't seem to be wanting to come back out.
I like you have an opinion on a movie you haven't seen.
I would like to have seen them talk more about...
He went splody.
He
went splody?
I really would like to have seen them talk more about the passage of time in the construct.
Yeah, that felt almost Inception-like to me, and I wanted to see less.
I wanted to know, it's like, well...
They said
does
enough
time
of it to
pass
make me
the
happy.
Same, or does it... You
no,
know,
they said something about it.
They did, but they never really...
I don't need it spelled out for me. It passes slower.
Yeah.
That's why he did it. That's why he... That's why he created Clue, was because... So he could go out and he could still age. But everything slowed down in the grid.
The grid.
Everything slowed down. He had to keep going out so he would age so nobody suspected anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's what I took out of the conversation.
Yeah, because I was curious as
really
to like...
Really randomly weird cameo by Cillian Murphy in that movie. I was like, what the fuck?
It makes me wonder if there's stuff that was cut out about that. Because I really felt... That's like, oh, hey,
he was
Dillinger's son.
Yeah, he was David Warner's
son.
And that was weird. And I was all, I was kind of intrigued by him. And then I'm watching, and I'm like, well, where the fuck did he go? And then I'm like, holy shit, that was Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Stepped out.
That was how it's going, yeah. I think it's great. I will not be buying it on Blu-ray.
Oh, I will.
Really?
No, because
it's my second favorite movie of the year.
I would miss the 3D. The movie is nothing without the 3D.
Understandable. It's one of those that I I have to buy it on Blu-ray because there's no other way to get it.
Other stuff
justice to see.
If otherwise. I lucked into a 3D TV and the glasses and all that stuff, I'd be first in line to get it.
Sure.
I mean, more so than Avatar or anything like that. It is hands down the best looking 3D movie I've ever seen.
I really liked in the movie the nods they gave to the original.
Yeah. Without being too retarded about it.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of little tiny nods that only people that are familiar with the first movie would get, like, that's a big door.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, because that was the exact same bit, mm-hmm. The exact same set, you know. And little bits here and there that they threw in the Tron video game. They threw in, obviously, Space Paranoids from the original movie. They also threw in the there's a little screenshot of the video game that Flynn was playing at the beginning of Tron is in there. And other than that, I mean, I felt the movie was just
the
really
thing.
Handled things well. So,
what was the name of the company?
NCOM.
Okay, the NCOM 12 or 14 or whatever it was that was coming out at the beginning of the movie, is that a video game system or is it an operating system?
It was
system?
An operating system.
Okay, so it'd be like
it was a stab at Windows 7, yeah.
Okay, I thought so. And, so yeah, okay, that makes more sense to me because mm-hmm. That was the thing that he leaked, and that'd be the equivalent of Windows 7 being leaked.
Being free online.
Yeah.
Right.
And which was done by the Flynn kid. Was mm-hmm. Sam Flynn.
Yeah, Sam Flynn.
And
he did a great job at
Garrett Delahunt or something. Garrett something.
Garrett Hedlund.
He was Patroclus in Troy.
Sounds really.
But and we keep talking about the effects, but the story was really good. It was a good story. It kept me entertained. I enjoyed it. I'd actually kind of like to make it to the theater to see it again because mm-hmm. I'm just not interested on DVD. I mean, especially DVD. And, you know, I'd probably check out the special features, but it's going to lose so much in 3D, or losing 3D to me. So.
Yeah, and the original Tron isn't out on Blu-ray.
And it's coming out with Tron Legacy.
And I'm expecting that they're going to do that. So that'll be nice because I'll pick that up because I love it. But it's, you know, the first movie is very much a
product of the 80s.
A product of the 80s, where it's very much an action, you know, adventure type of movie.
Sure.
This movie's much more
cerebral,
more deep, and much.
Yeah.
It's a 20 years later, 20 years older type of movie.
I could see Shay enjoying the shit out of this movie and talking all kinds of philosophy,
philosophical, and
whatsoever.
Narrative implications.
Yeah. I guarantee
really
you, Jeff
it.
Loved it. I will guarantee you that. I mean, Jeff loved the original, and I guarantee you he liked this one even more. So,
yeah, wouldn't be surprised.
So, yeah,
we found out this guy's first movie,
first
that
film,
directed.
And he's directing Black Hole after that.
Oh,
so,
nice!
And that, you know, that
should
does not look like a freshman director by any stretch of the
imagination. Oh, this movie,
masterfully directed.
No.
I mean, I knew that he was a newish director, but I expected to see something behind him. Nothing. Mm-hmm. This is the first anything he's ever directed, and he did very well. So, you know, I'm interested to see what he does. So that's very cool. I don't have anything else to add unless you do.
No, I think I said my two cents on it. It was a fantastic movie.
My big question was whether the young son found the elder father.
Well, they showed that in the trailer.
I didn't catch that in the trailer. That was the only real big question I had.
Showed him talking that kind of, several times in the trailer.
Well, it showed him talking, but I wasn't sure if it was going to be one of those things where, like...
No, he found him.
He got him, got just that close to him, and then he dies from something, and... No, it was...
They found him, and they had all kinds of sweet love
father-son...
Father-son lovemaking.
digital father-son lovemaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Creepy.
No, they had a nice
story. We did not
story.
See the same movie, though.
No.
What?
It was in, like, a really seedy theater. I mean, they put, like, Coke cans on my head. Said they were 3D.
It might have actually said Tron Legacy, now that I think about it.
They had a nice father-son storyline going mm-hmm. on. And, you know, you could see how they were like and, more importantly, how they were different. And it was a very appropriate story. So I really liked it. So that's been our confession.
The other thing, really quick... I did notice at the beginning that Bruce Boxleitner got third billing.
Yeah, and he was barely in it.
I know.
That has
nothing to do with the movie, but I'm like, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Hooray for his agent, you know?
Yeah, they gotta throw him a bone. I mean, he was fucking Tron.
He was Tron, yeah.
But, the original,
Tron
yeah,
was barely so. In it, and then he played What's-His-Face in the... What's his name?
Alan.
Alan, yeah. Alan something or other.
The real-life friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that has been Confessions of a Movie Snob. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our confession, or excuse me, our outro section.
Vast webs of fireflies spin around my eyes. Feels nice. Cool breeze runs through my hair. I breathe the air.
And we are back with the outro section. This has been issue number 39. 39 meaning next issue is 40, meaning the next issue is going to be our facilitators of the Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthaw's award ceremony. So next week, tune in. We are going to be discussing Meryl Streep, Liam Neeson, Jackie Chan, and
Kurt Russell.
Hopefully, well, by the end of the show, one of them will be named the next Indomitable Order
facilitator.
So
go vote. You can vote.
You can go
throughout that this show, throughout that show. So,
yeah, I actually haven't voted yet. I don't think I'm gonna. I don't think I'm gonna bother voting.
It's sort of classy to let the fans do it.
Yeah, but we have a whole hell of a lot.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
We need to post it up on Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, I did that last time as well. I need to do that tonight instead of like next week.
You should do it right.
Play it up on the feeds for the various actors as well.
We can do that. Yeah, that's what I've been. I did that on Twitter and Facebook and MySpace.
These guys all
and
have
their
it this
official
time?
Pages. Last time. I don't know. I mean, last time one person did not have. Terrence Stamp didn't have a whole lot.
Yeah,
but he did have something. I don't remember what it was. We'll be doing that. Do you have a gamer's haven before then?
Probably will. Yes.
Will it air before then?
It should. Yes.
Or maybe you can bring it up on.
I will do my best.
I have a message out to the Bag to Board guys, see if they're going to be on. Otherwise, I guess I'll take on the burden, or not the burden, but the responsibility of proving how much of a badass Kurt Russell is. So that should be interesting. And
we're just going to talk about Death Proof a lot.
Fuck yeah, I love Death. He was awesome in Death Proof. He is such a bitch.
And well, we'll just go Death Proof, Snake Plissken, Jack Burton.
Fuck that. What about 3,000 Miles to Graceland?
And 3,
I loved
miles
him
Graceland.
In 3,000 Miles
great,
to Graceland.
That's true. Yeah.
Wasn't that great of a movie?
There's a reason he's
funny.
Nominated. It's Kurt, you know, Kurt Russell.
Filters are for pussies and guys my age.
Exactly.
Probably my favorite movie line of all time.
But really, you know, all of the nominees this time around are fantastic,
yep.
I think.
So, I agree. I don't really care who wins, and that has never been true before until this time. So any one of these people can win, and I don't care. But yes,
they all deserve to be there.
Tune in next week, and we're going to hear each of our presentations on why this person should have a fucking added to their names. And at the end of the show, we will be naming the winner. So yeah, that should be interesting. You guys have fun on this show?
Yeah.
No. This sucked. I hated everybody.
Excellent characterization where we discussed what systems we wanted to use and what modifications to the systems would need to be made to really get the flavor of the Unbreakable Universe.
I have no idea what you just said.
So, yeah. There we go.
Could I bum a cigarette?
No.
Blast.
No. Hey, yeah, tune in next week where I'm going to be a college student. I guess I am already a college student.
You are now.
Oh, shit.
You're going to be learned?
I'm going to be all, like, professorly and shit.
Professorly.
Professorly. I'll have, like, a tricorder hat. What are those fucking hats called? The graduation hats.
I've got one at home.
I have no idea.
One somewhere too.
Graduation.
I probably beat somebody up for it because I don't know where I would have gotten it otherwise. Yeah, I have one around here. So
you should
come in here with a tweed jacket with the shoulder.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You see that
fucking suit I found? I put up on my Facebook. Uh-huh. It's awesome. It's a tweed suit.
Nice.
I'm thinking about getting it for the wedding. It's going to be the shit. It's like $126. It's so awesome. But that's neither here nor there. But I am Aaron.
I am Ethan.
Shake.
Let your geek flag fly.
Your best. And you do just fine. And you change. Just not there.